There we go.
Testing.
Yep,
hey, look at that.
All right. And there's Mr. Law. Okay.
Yay.
A couple minutes past six, I call this monthly meeting for the Nashua Airport Authority to order.
Right on the dot. They made it right on the dot.
Ah, look at that. So, Chris isn't here tonight, so I guess I will conduct the roll call. Chairman Law, or I'm sorry, Chairman Law. Director Law?
Here.
And Director Heap?
I am here.
Director Duquette?
Here.
And Director Scheifel will be absent this evening, and Chairman Woods is here.
You are Chairman Woods.
And I am Chairman Woods, yes. Okay. Public input. Do we have any public input as related to the agenda this evening? Okay, we'll take that as a no. Minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of June 19, 2019.
I've read through the minutes, and I make a motion to approve them as written.
I'll second that. Okay, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Treasurer's report, approval of the June 2019 financial statements, subject to audit.
Okay, the results are in for the year. We ended with a surplus of about $22,000 from an operational perspective. There's a bunch of reasons for that. Our expected tie-down for registration fees, rather, were significantly lower than expected than budgeted, but with a whole series of expenses, marketing, vehicle expense, other list of expenses that were lower, we actually ended up with a bit of a surplus of $22,718. Again, that's subject to audit. The balance sheet's in good shape. We still have excess reserves and excess of cash of excess of $250,000. That's been carried over from year to year, so we're pretty solvent and in good shape.
Okay, so based on that, would anyone care to move to approve June 2019 financial statement subject to audit?
I'll put forth the motion to approve the June 2019 financial statement subject to audit.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All those approve?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Let's see. Approval of the FY 2020 budget. This was deferred from last month.
Right. So, as was presented last month, there was a scenario where the plan was to increase the tie-down fees, which hadn't been increased for many years. And it was a relatively, percentage-wise, a good-sized increase. And there was some concern and just some other questions about the overall budget for me, what was capital expenditure versus operational expenses. And so we decided to take a step back and kind of look at the whole thing, look at the big picture. And through consensus, kind of offline with other discussions and some analysis that Chris Lynch did and Susan about the tie-down fees, the decision was made to postpone any increases until next fiscal year. And then also, it was also noted that we ought to look at increasing tie-down fees more often with less of an increase. And so we're kind of putting that into the plan. So we've essentially left the tie-down fees flat for basically the same rates as current as 2019 year. So in doing that, then we also looked at a lot of the expenses, and a lot of the expenses were thought to be more capital in nature versus operating expenses, and So we carved those out. We took a look at the expenses from an operational perspective. And, you know, the salaries and the operating expenses all were pretty much in line. So we basically did some adjustments. Like I said, went down for the tie-down fees, but the other revenue line items stayed about the same that we looked at last week or last month. So the bottom line is that we ended up with about we're projecting $570,000 of revenue this for 2015. And then we're projecting operating expenses of about $560,000. So we're expecting a relatively small surplus of about $10,000. Now, that doesn't mean, but in addition to that, we're going to have roughly $25,000 to $40,000 of cash outlays for capital improvements, one of them being significant improvement to the roofing, to the roof at the, I believe it's the...
The brick hanger? Yeah.
And there's a couple of other expenditures. The fuel tanks inspections was deferred. So that, again, is we decided to actually provide for that $2,000 a year for the next 5 years because it happens every 5 years. But rather than take a big hit in one budget year, we simply spread that out over each fiscal year. We accrue it, and then that way it's not a big budgetary hit in that 1 year for that ongoing expense. So those are the primary adjustments of the budget that we did from last June to now, and that's what you see before you for vote tonight. So does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, Dave, are we deferring the fuel farm tank inspection beyond 5 years?
No, we're not deferring the inspection. What we're doing is we're simply, rather than having a $10,000 cost in 1 year, we're simply providing for that expense over a 5 year period.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're doing.
Okay. Question, Wes?
Yeah, I was under the impression that the city owned the brick
hangar, not the airport. No, the airport authority is the only piece of property we own.
Okay.
Well, I think we own our building as well.
Well, yeah, yes. Which has got to be painted and stuff, too.
See? It was represented differently in the previous
administration. Okay.
Well, now you know.
Steve, question?
I'm just curious, Dave, you probably have the biggest funding, but just from a capital observation from my perspective, it looks like we have a heck of a lot more operations, and therefore I would think that there's a heck of a lot more fuel flow.
Well, that's, if you notice on the budget, there is an increase in fuel flowage fees.
Do you have any idea of approximate increase over the last year?
Well, let's see. The actual... fuel flowage fees, the actuals through June is $55,000. We're projecting $70,000 for budget. So we've built in a significant increase in the fuel flowage fees for our budget purposes. A lot of that has to do with more turbine operations as well. So
if that doesn't happen, the budget's
at risk. Well, there's budget risk in the whole thing. Every line item has a risk to it, except for payroll. But I think it's a calculated risk, and I think it's a prudent estimate of what we expect to happen.
We got one question. Vehicle repairs and maintenance is slightly ticked down. I know that's sort of an ongoing annual.
Sure.
Lots of problems, lots of fixing. I'm assuming that's considering new equipment coming into the fold and projected less work on old, more old stuff. 22,000 is line item 54600.
54600.
To that end, it's actually a lot higher than what we actually spent.
I'm just curious.
So how does that compare to where the roof will show up as a line item?
Well, roofs won't show up in vehicle expense.
No,
but
I realize that.
But yeah, so if there's, I think there's some numbers that Chris has deferred as was hopefully getting done this year, but didn't happen, so he's doing it next year. So it has to do with the equipment and vehicles. The roof thing is somewhere else. I believe it's building grounds and maintenance. I think it's in there. So, so the question is, Brian or Joe, then what, you're saying the vehicles fest went up from 13,000 to 20,000.
We had a 2019 budget of 22. It says 20 projected to 20,000. Actual was 13. So to Brian's point, we used less than budget, even the lower budget.
Yeah.
So it's probably a
I think the vehicle expenses is
some deferred maintenance.
Yeah, there's some deferred maintenance, but also there's just, you know, the stuff is getting older, and other than the new SRE that we
was there a new truck? I thought there was some pickup truck talk at one point.
They're getting a new truck.
Yeah.
That's not in there.
Not in there.
That would be a capital expenditure.
Yeah, and then in terms of the building. Those are
maintenance.
So we had an actual 10.8, a budget this year of 12, but then the budget next year is 10.
Right. And again, that has to do with an operational versus capital. So we may be spending more on that building, but it's going to be capital in nature. It's depreciable, not something that's out of the
one-time
budget.
Shot. Yeah. Money's going to the
And enough. So the upside potential on the budget as well as the as registration fees.
We're
being conservative, which I think is a smart play.
Yeah. I mean, we're still a year or two into the new regime or new calculation as far as the state's concerned, which is obviously lower than it was. But with some of the activity we're seeing now. And projected and activity that we kind of know is happening in the near future, that number should be coming up.
And a little more snow.
Yeah, we've got to have more snow. We're going to have 11 storms instead of 10 storms next year. That's the other budget.
And we're holding tight on that 10,000 marketing rate. We're still
right.
Careful what you wish for. Steps on the landscaper said that we should budget for 12 storms a year.
Well, we had 10 storms last year. And so we're putting in 11, and that's, you know, there's a little bit of
be conservative.
There's a little bit of between that and the expenses. There is a little bit of a cushion there, but
does the storm make you financially net positive?
Some storms, yes. It depends on how small or big they are. If they're really big, we got all hands on deck and we're paying overtime like crazy. If it's a small storm, then there's a little bit of margin in there.
I thought you cracked from my condo association.
Right.
And you.
Yes.
And we had one winter where there were 14 storms.
Yep.
Probably the duration, too. You have to go out and do it two
or
three
times.
Well,
that's still,
yeah.
That's what I was getting at, is that if it's a larger storm, multiple days, overtime kind of thing, that's where that positive turns into a negative pretty quickly.
Okay, any other discussion around the FY 2020 budget? Okay, would someone care to make a motion to approve the FY 2020 budget then?
I will. Go ahead, Jeff. Make a motion to accept the FY 2020 budget.
And I can second that, can't I?
Yes, I think you can. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of approving the FY 2020 budget?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Communications. So, according to this, we had no official communications with the NAA this month. So, that takes care of that. Brings us to the tower report. So, we take a look at the traffic counts for June. Let's see. For June 2019, we counted 7,207 operations, 913, variations over the previous year. That's a 50-year-over-year for operations, monthly operations, which is, of course, what we want to see.
Do we have any idea if those are sort of like, I'll use the term domestic or international in the sense of local stuff to here, or do we have more people coming here? Anyway, I don't know if there's any way of really tracking that.
About domestic versus international.
Well, I'm using the terms,
internal,
local guys.
We get this broken out a little bit. On the back of that sheet, You know, they break out IFR, VFR, local.
Transient.
GA and.
It's just more of a curiosity in terms of are we starting to. Is there some momentum with the name, the registration stuff?
This is obviously not quantifiable, but just I'm at the airport a lot. And I can tell you that there are more operations, with the flight school. That's definitely it. I am also seeing more and more, for lack of a better word, transient or aircraft and out-based.
Right.
There were a fleet of Pilatuses that came in this week.
Was it Pilatus or
So, my gut, without quantifying it, my gut is that I think it's a combination of both, I think. But either way, the operations are up.
But more importantly, the
fuel flow is kind of, which Farrell will get to, is tracking with that. So.
Interestingly, looks to me like the helicopter school.
There's only been 1 month this year that's under positive, negative four in February, so it's a lot of
fun. It was a horrible month.
Yeah.
It was like average of 10 below or something. That's what we're saying.
January, was 8%, and every other month was double digits.
Yeah.
Positive.
Yep. So my casual observation for what that's worth is it looks like SNU/AirDirect have a couple more airplanes on the line. I see a couple airplanes sitting out there that I don't remember seeing before. And today I was at the airport, and I forget which building number it is. It's just a couple down from us, from the airport authority. It was one of the buildings, I believe, that KW vacated.
91.
So the door was open today, and, it's like if anybody's seen those light twins, the high wings.
Yeah. The gray looking.
Yeah, with the gray airplane.
Oh, that's 97.
I saw five of those airplanes in that hangar today.
They're surveillance, I think.
The first time I saw it, I googled the tail number just to see what that was.
Twin engine Rotax.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, 100 screaming horsepower on each wing.
They
also have a 206.
There's been some really good action on the airport. Really positive stuff. I met today just briefly. Just had an informal conversation with one of the new tenants on the field, and they're just thrilled to be there. So good things are happening.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I met a new flight instructor, the other day. It's like he and his wife just moved up here,
mm-hmm.
From Florida, and what else? Oh, the 206 was that?
Yeah, they're ADSB ECAS, and I so we haven't been to where I can see the guy coming. And so I myself said to talk to the side, and the guy marched by, and some of the equipment squat. We started complaining that we'd almost had him in the air. And I had eyes out on the whole time. And so lack of responsibility.
Right.
So I had my eyes out on the whole time, about 3 miles over there. And I was 2,000 feet from. But, if he's not looking out the window, the equipment's just walking kind of too much.
Okay.
Okay, so
I think that covers the tower report. Since Chris is manager's report, so recent events, SNHU, 40 new student pilots started flight training on July 18th.
That's tomorrow. Well, they actually started, that was last year.
Interesting, okay. Also, the AC/heating unit in the air traffic. The early estimates for replacing this unit are coming in at around $26,000. This is seeking that it's not just the heating coil that needs to be replaced. That's what's, I guess, rotting out. But, it's like they got to replace all the ductwork. because that whole entire unit is too old or something of that nature. That's prompted Chris to go seek other estimates. The regulator that runs the runway lights got fried in a thunderstorm.
It was a lightning strike.
Yeah, it got fried a couple of weeks ago, and the controller had to get repaired. And this is written in the present tense, but I believe that most of the repair has been completed. The runway lights are working again. There's a small indicator, on the box that contains the transformer. Even though that little indicator is no longer working, the lights themselves are working, including, I think, the pilot control lighting.
He was able to do some patch work in there.
Matt reinstalled it. Okay. So, that's the first time I've been in the vault. That was interesting. I'd never been in there before. Let's see. Runway 32 Pappy is not able to operate in the high step mode, which is daylight usable mode. A spare circuit board has been sent out for overhaul, and once replaced, that should solve the issue. Upcoming events on September 14, we have a Wheels and Wings event. September 27 through 29, the Callings found their Wings of Freedom Tour 2019 to the Nashua Airport. Features, according to this little flyer here, is if someone is interested, they can get dueled in the TP-40 Warhawk, which sounds like a cool thing. It will be great to have those folks around. Other items of interest, the SRE, the CAC grader, arrival date, ? I think we'll cover that in the engineer's report. Groove and seam, as we discussed a little bit before the meeting, reconstruct airfield pavement and maintenance phase two. Federal funding was not obtained for that, but we'll discuss that more in the next report. So that's all we have for the manager's report this month. Are there any questions? Okay, we'll move on to the engineer's report. Nick?
Nick Ippolito from Gale Associates for the recording. Gale is administering three projects on behalf of the authority. Those are the Bridge and Field project, the snow removal equipment project, and the phase two of the pavement maintenance. The first project being the roof and seal. On July 2nd, 2019, the contractor proposed a start date of July 15th to complete all remaining work. However, the state did not allow to require 14 days of notice or 15 days of notice to airport users, so we asked the contractor to provide an alternate date. At the time I sent this to Sue, we had not finalized it, but since this was sent out, the contractor has confirmed that August 12th through the 17th will be the time frame to complete that work. That will require daytime closure of the runway. Once all work is complete, the contractor will issue final payment and the grant and project will be closed out. I will state that the cost of the corrective action for the markings in GSD 88 is not coming out of the project funding, it is on the contractor hold.
Okay. So we got to get notice out to the tenants, our customers.
Yes.
Pretty quickly.
Chris had mentioned you going to either post it to the site or have Sue post it to the site, but as of yesterday, we did not see that up on the website.
Yeah, but I want to make sure that we contact a lot of the corporate guys.
Well, Chris will be on top of that. He's very good about that.
Yeah. And that's weather dependent again.
The shock blasting.
Is not
the
weather
dependent,
it's
the remark.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wes? A couple questions. First of all, I think you and I need to get out of Dodge because of CAPTCHA. But you said it's a daytime closure?
Yes.
So it's open at night?
Yep. The work hours, I believe, are 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. with a reopening.
Okay. There was a discussion at one point where they were going to try and do it. It was some of the work at night. That's not happening now.
Yes, and for one reason or another, basically my engineer back in the office has been coordinating it, and I believe he sent out a proposed series of dates. That could have been nighttime or daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And, the contractor is requesting daytime.
Okay.
Although they could do it at night if necessary, it would just take a little bit longer.
Okay.
And I wasn't CC'd on the correspondence back from Chris and from Farrell, but Farrell, could you provide some?
Well, let me see if I can dig that up here.
Looks like six.
5 days, 1 week.
Now, those are all days.
I think what they're getting at is that there won't be 5 or 6 days of closures. Is that true?
7 a.m. to 6 p.m. of closures.
Yeah. All 6 days.
If everything goes well, the contractor expects it to be approved.
But the point is that expect 6 days and 7 to 6
of closure.
No line.
No daytime point, 7 to 6. 6 days.
Yeah,
15
to
17
would be a Monday.
12 to 14, 15, 16. And that's where the nighttime thing came in. That was my impression also, was that there a lot of the work could be done at night. Now, I think I know what's happening here. The contractors, since they're, you know, a foot in the bill, they don't want to pay night overtime.
I would assume that's part of it, but I know for a fact that the markings can't be done at night.
No, that's fine. But and I think the last discussion I recall was that whatever they can do at night gets done at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps the runways open during the day. And then the markings and whatnot, then once it comes time to paint and all that stuff, then yeah, that stuff can be done during the day. So it was going to be a 6 day project, but only one or two of those days it was going to be actual daytime closures.
Right.
That was the, right.
And we indicated to the contractor that night work was preferred.
Yep.
And I apologize, I just don't have the correspondence on the phone.
I've got the correspondence here. Chris had some discussions with Rich O'Loughlin at SNHU about that, and that's how they settled upon the August 12 to 17. And yeah, it's Dave Worry who made the specific request about doing both processes during the day. He is the
owner of Skidmore.
Yeah.
Now in the,
yeah. So, Chris did say he could be available, so you know, it's like I could give him a call to get his comments on the nighttime stuff. Is that of interest?
When now?
Yeah.
Other than it sounds like it was pre-arranged with SNHU and everybody.
My engineer.
Okay.
I think it's important that rather than a request of nighttime, I think it has to be a requirement. It's whatever can be done at night. Well, they're not.
It's warranty work.
It's warranty work. They're like costing them money.
We'll never do it in front of us.
And is that not their responsibility?
Of course it's their responsibility. So, yeah. You got to use a stick and a carrot. You can't just get the stick out.
When they originally did this work, would they have done it at night?
No.
No. Well, they did. They certainly did the markings during the day.
The grooving part of the night. But.
Yeah. Yeah. They did the grooving at night. You know, but they did the markings during the day.
Yeah. So they can still do the marking during the day, but this other
shot blast. All the shot blasts can be done at midnight.
Right.
There's no. They don't need the sunlight to do that. What they're trying to do, I know what they're trying to do, is save nighttime wages.
Yeah.
Off-hour wages.
As long as it's not going to disturb the neighborhood either.
No, it's not that noisy.
Yeah, if it's the board's preference to go nighttime only.
Well, here's the thing. The board's preference is to have as little impact to the tenants as possible. That's the board's preference. So to that extent, to that end, we need to have as much work done at night as possible.
Other than, you know, just kind of outside looking in from that correspondence you read, Farrell.
Yes.
It sounded like there was deliberate conversations about those days during the day.
Right.
So
yes.
I just want to make sure we're not giving Yale like all like mixed signals.
No. Right. The 6 day period is not an issue.
Right.
It's when during those 6 days.
I understand
that the work is going to get done.
Right. I'm just saying it sounds like there's deliberate conversations
yes.
with specific people about
yeah.
specifically doing it during the day.
Yep.
So I'm all for minimizing impact. I just want to make sure we don't have Gail chasing a tail here with two different
things. As a board, we direct Gail to work with Chris to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think exactly.
Reduce the impact.
Keep that together so that there's not fighting interest. Like you guys come back and say, "Great, we're all done. We got it during the night." And
Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but Sir Lancelot wanted to do the markings during the day because he claimed that he just could not do as accurate of a job, without the sunlight. And I think the corollary to that was that it really does not take a lot of time for, the paint to cure.
Right. Yeah, it'll cure much faster in daytime.
Yeah,
with the sun hitting it.
No question on that stuff.
Okay.
The markings, the ceiling, all that stuff, daytime's on an issue. I just can't believe that this runway has to be closed for 6 days during the day to get this work done. I understand there has to be some closure during the day because of the sunlight and heat and all that stuff. But there's a lot of things that can be done at night.
Just out of curiosity, on the sound of the SNHU, you had a preference for those during the day. Do they have some sort of break in term or something that
must.
Works for them? I mean, it just
they
seems
must
like
have
work.
Some,
right.
must have something going on there with the semester or whatever.
That is not enumerated here.
Okay.
The choice of dates were August 5 through 10 or August 12 through 17, and the SNHU person expressed a preference for 12
right.
through 17.
Must jack somehow.
Wes?
Well, as a tenant, I'll just request that you publish notice well in advance because we're flying. I'm flying.
Right.
Yeah.
And I obviously have to go somewhere else.
Right. Okay. Well, the intent of management and the board is always to give the tenants as much notice as possible. And that's going to happen.
Steve?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm clear, and then hopefully we can make clear to the contractor who seems to be reluctant. Was it not done, did this incorrectly to begin with, and led us to this dilemma that we're facing today?
It was the manufacturer of the product that applied, not the contractor.
And you say the manufacturer in the paint?
No, it was the
ceiling.
Unfortunately, the contractor is just sort of stuck in the middle here. He has all the obligations.
The warranty of the manufacturer, the sealant transfers to the warranty of the contractor
yeah.
to do the work.
So who's paying the contractor? Is it the manufacturer?
Who knows?
Well, that's not our concern.
No, we don't care.
As long as the airport authority.
Well, we can't figure that out, Steve. Because you try to figure that out, they'll never get there. The only thing we need to tell them is that our preference, our requirement, is to do as much as possible at night. That's it. I don't care who's paying who. I don't care who's responsible. That is, we're dealing with one contractor. That's it. We're not going to get into the debate as to who's being motivated by what. I just don't think that has any. I don't think
yeah.
that has any. If you're dealing with a one-on-one painter kind of thing, or a framer for a house or a contractor, yeah, you can get in those debates. This is so far past that I don't think that's an issue.
Would it be acceptable to the board for me to follow up tomorrow once I have some
yes.
information?
Yes, please.
And get you guys a clear answer on why day versus night. And
well, I think it's. Well, I'll say the answer, but I think it's important that we relay the desire, the strong desire, to have as little daytime closures as possible, understanding that they do have to do the stuff during some things during the day. We understand that. But there's a lot of the prep work and the shot blasting and the sweeping and all that stuff. That doesn't have to be done during the day. So the prep work can be done anytime. It's that we understand that the sealant and the curing and the paint, that's the daytime then. That's fine.
Okay.
I'll follow up with you tomorrow.
Okay.
Any other questions regarding the roof and seal project?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. The next project is the purchase of the snow removal equipment. It's been reported to Gale by the vendor that the wind plow mounting brackets are not compatible with the type of wind plow scheduled for installation. They are in the process of acquiring the correct mounting brackets and attaching them to the machine. I called, so again, this was prepared a week ago. I called Milton Cat a week ago, and the guy told me to stay tuned. He was going to get me an update, and I have not received one yet. I had Dan call today and got the guy's voicemail, and he did not respond to me.
Is the grader otherwise ready to go?
It is.
Okay, so that's the last work item that needs to be completed. Then they can
ship it.
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to go up and do a factory design.
So we just have to make sure that all of the specified upgrades are installed, working properly.
Are we generating a punch list? I'm assuming you're part of the FAQ, will be a punch list of any sort.
Any observed deficiencies will be addressed in the punch list. So again, we anticipate delivery sometime in the next week, 2 weeks. And upon delivery and acceptance of the grader, we'll process the reimbursement packages and close out packages on behalf of the vehicle. Any questions on the SRE project? Okay. The third project is the Phase 2 pavement maintenance project. On Tuesday, June 7, 2019, Gale and the airport received notification from NHDOT. The FAA is unable to issue a grant for the project in FY 2019 due to lack of discretionary funding. NHDOT indicated that an FY 2019 grant to fund design and bidding of the project is still eligible. Should the airport decide to use its available entitlements to cover the design and bidding costs, the design-only grant will stipulate that the airport must accept a construction grant within 2 years of the design grant closeout. So, pausing before I move on. That's something that is unclear to me whether or not is actually a mandatory requirement from FAA, because the AIP handbook says that the FAA has every expectation that the project will be constructed within 2 years, but it doesn't actually require it. And the wording in the AIP handbook is FAA has every expectation that construction will begin.
So who's saying it's required?
It's not NHDOT. I've heard that in other states as well, but typically the AIP handbook says, word like must.
But is somebody saying this? Who's saying
Congress saying thou shall have it? Okay. I mean, there's a formal communication.
In an email from NHDOT, they stipulate that a construction grant would have to be accepted within 2 years of grant closure.
Okay, so they're saying something to us that it isn't accurate or is contrary to what the FAA says.
FAA has enforced it in other states, so I think they're just following suit.
Yeah.
But the interesting part about that email was that the airport would have to accept a construction grant within 2 years. Well, in order for the airport to accept a construction grant, one would have to be offered.
Right.
So
when you say DOT, that's who is the DOT?
Carroll.
Okay. So let me just back up a little bit. To say that the funding didn't come through is disappointing is an understatement. Because we've been under the impression this is, we're going to have shovels in the ground next month. So is it the FAA hasn't issued the funding yet? In other words, my understanding is that there could be some funding coming before the September 30th year end. The FAA hasn't gotten to it yet. Is that true, or is that...
The email from NHDOT also included the email sent from FAA to them.
Yep.
And their determination was that there's not enough discretionary funding this fiscal year to to fund that project.
Okay. And did other states and get that get discretionary money?
Yes, I don't know if New Hampshire is the only state that did not receive discretionary, but so it appears that New Hampshire airports, all of New Hampshire airports, of all of them, Nashville is the only project that required discretionary.
Okay, so Vermont got some airports in Vermont, got some Rhode Island, Maine. So that discretionary funding was somehow available, but yet New Hampshire, of which Nashville was the only requester, didn't get any. That's very curious. But okay.
I mean, discretionary is,
well, it's just that
distributed based on project priority rankings.
Yeah.
And taxi lanes, basically, as you get further away from the runway, things drop off on that priority scale. So runways, runway safety areas, a high priority.
Yeah.
Taxiways, next, and then by the time you get up to taxi lanes between TN and things like that,
yeah,
it ranks pretty low on discretionary ranking.
Yeah.
But that's not to say FAA would not fund it if funding were there.
But I guess, how do we get so far down the pike before this? I mean, you guys have done some engineering. There's been site work done. There's all this stuff. It was obviously pretty priority.
It was in the master plan.
It was in the master plan. It's in the master plan. It's part of the AIP. It's stuff that both DOT and FAA has been known about. And then all of a sudden, oops, no, sorry, we're not. I mean, it just doesn't sound right.
Well, and I
know you guys, this is relatively new, so I know you're
not knowing they can program these projects early on in the year by scoping them and
sure,
giving us the go-ahead to do the design on behalf of the airport, but each project is subject to the availability of funding.
Oh, sure.
And that's, they state that with everything.
Yep.
40% increase in bid prices that we've seen.
Right.
So things are getting more expensive.
Yep.
And
all right, so nothing's going to happen this fiscal year. Right. So do we have to reapply for this in 2020?
It would be a new grant application in
20. So the soonest that shovels can be in the ground for this project would be when? A year from now?
If it's the board's desire to wait for a grant to be issued, then it would be,
yeah, it'd be next summer, and then
how else would you get the money to bond it
and then wait for reimbursement?
Through the standard channels we just went through, the next cycle, this would yield shovels in the ground roughly 1 year later than we predicted for this year.
Correct.
So whatever that was that year. So if that was the fall of this year, it'd be the fall.
So is that the plan, is to resubmit this thing or just give up on the project?
I think it's up to us.
I wouldn't think you'd want to give up on
no,
it.
We can't give up on the project. That pavement needs to be repaired, replaced.
I agree. So
I guess the question I'd have too, I mean, maybe the book is written on this year for now, but if there's a process or a more proactive process that we could be aware of, or maybe you guys could be aware of to chase the money in a more deliberate way, if you will, versus kind of like today's point, kind of like, okay, we're good, oh, we're not good. Like, was there something we could have done? Was there more?
Well, it's a block grant state.
Right.
So we don't have a lot of say in that.
I'm diverse, you know, just making sure that we're very clear on what we want from the block grant.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go. My personal opinion right now is that area has to be.
What's the resubmittal cycle for all this stuff again? Is that back to the standard calendar?
September 30th is the last day of the 2019 fiscal year, so we could submit October 1st. It would still have to wait until FAA reached that project in the order of priority rankings to issue the funding. I guess that being said, the earliest, again, we'll be able to get shovels in the ground with you around this time next year.
Okay.
Wes,
you've been very patient.
I can parse the language about having to accept a grant in another way, which is to say that the airport needs to prioritize accepting that grant than any other grant. So the airport's eligible for, say, redoing taxiway alpha, but the 2 years is expiring. And then they have, for whatever reason, they have this grant, the grant in for, you know, the taxiways. You can interpret that to say that if they have to choose between the two, then they have to choose the project where the design work is expiring.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's a given. We're not going to do anything that will jeopardize,
sure,
you know, funding down the road.
It's my understanding of the system is that a high priority project like the taxiway would not be, they would be considered separate. They would move to next year, we design an ALPA relocation project. That would rank, but the taxi lane and pavement maintenance project would still be on docket. It would just have to wait and see if to split that part down the priority.
Can
the airport say we're not going to apply for any other grants until this one gets done?
That wouldn't make sense
to the board.
That wouldn't make sense at all.
I do have a, is there, so just make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So the fact they say that the design part of this is eligible for funding, right?
Right.
But as soon as you do that, you're on the clock, right?
Well, so it's accepted.
Well, okay, say you accept it and that's the 2 year clock. What's to say that that time goes by and then you go, okay, and there's still not money available? I mean, at what point does this thing expire and you sort of, and is there a sunset on the design itself? Like, can you do the design work and then 10 years from now, pricing obviously would be different, but you know what I'm saying? Is at what point do you put the cart before the horse?
There is some change to the permitting regulations or FAA's design criteria that would necessitate a change. I think the design has been valid through any
somewhat in perpetuity.
If we do the design now, can we get shovels on the ground sooner?
I'm sorry?
If the design was done on this one, can we then put shovels in the ground sooner because the design work is done?
The design work is done.
It's already done.
It's already done.
It's already been out to bid. And now we're just sort of trying to determine the best way to proceed.
So when they say although indicated grant fund the design and bidding is eligible.
Correct. NHDOT did offer a design-only grant.
But we did the design.
Yes.
So that's sort of a consolation
prize. But we need to pay for it.
We haven't paid for it yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
I believe it's somewhere in the range of $125,000.
So that's money that's got to be...
Yes.
We've got to deal with that. But whatever we do... I guess that I know that, you know, we're still kind of figuring out the exact chain of events here, but whatever we do with this grant for next year, we're going to do it differently as far as follow-up and, you know, communications with the DOT and making sure that everything is being done to secure this grant, if in fact we have to reapply, because that work needs to be done.
Well, you mentioned bonding, I think, a minute ago, and the airport issue.
I don't think we're going to have the stomach for that.
Okay.
I don't, you know.
I believe the Enabling Act gives us that authority.
We can do it, but I'd have to get real comfortable with that before we...
$4 million.
Yeah. That's a $4 million.
That's not
roll the dice.
Yeah.
Right. Did the fund your bond now?
Well,
I mean, that's the thing with school all the time.
Well, I know that.
And again, so in theory, at the end of 2 years, if the airport hasn't accepted a construction grant, they would owe the design fee back to FAA, or in this case, to DOT. However.
But we still have to get some clarity on that, right?
The wording parsing of the email is ambiguous to me, because in order to accept a grant, you have to be offered. So yeah. Would it imply that if
it's guaranteed within 2 years?
Would it imply that a grant offer will be forthcoming, or does it imply that if no grant is offered,
then the 2 years doesn't matter?
Off the hook.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the other caveat where you could just, the AIP handbook states 2 years of grant closeout. So if you accept a design only grant, we file reimbursement, get paid for the design. If we don't close it out, would that 2 years just...
There's a lot of questions that we don't know the answers to.
I do know that after 5 years, DC red flags those projects, and unless there is a compelling reason to keep them open, they'll just pull the funding back.
Uh-huh.
But
okay. It sounds like we need some answers before we reapply.
Steve, did you have a...
Sometimes I have a difficult time hearing you pointing out for whatever reason, but I just want to make sure that when you introduce this particular subject in regards to the grant, you weren't talking at all about the whole short line. Please tell me you're not talking about that.
No, that is not.
That is not given special...
I heard from Carol, I knew that would let you delay the meeting.
No, that's...
We've already baked that baby for you.
We've already passed the Brulette Act.
Now, since the topic came up, is the old short line waiting for August 17th or whatever?
Yes.
The rest of the funding stuff.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, the sign is up.
I've seen it. Okay. Yes.
So, getting back to the agenda, then. The next bullet, the airport should consider the following options moving forward. One would be to fund the design fees incurred to date outside of any federal grant program and apply for discretionary funds in 2020. If that's the preferred option, a new grant application be prepared and filed at the beginning of FY 2020 in October.
And that'd be securely
planned? No. If the authority decides to use their two-year
clock.
It would just be funding it out of whatever coffers you guys
use. Right, but the new grant application then be for...
We would still apply for a grant every year until funding is available. That's a design-only grant to cover the costs incurred to date for design and bidding of the project. And if that is a new grant application prepared for this year, as well as for next year for construction.
Right, so this year's going to be modified, basically.
We wouldn't have to modify our contract. We would change the grant application to reflect the
design.
Okay. I just think that too, I don't know if I said this before, but we need to understand exactly what went wrong on this so we don't make the same mistake again, whatever it is.
Well, to that end, if you don't mind, what would happen if there were no discretionary funds left and we put out and are now on the hook for over 100 grand. It's kind of mind-boggling that we have to go through the process of actually starting this without knowing if we're actually getting the funds or not.
No, that's the next discussion, though, Brian.
During the scoping of this project, NHDOT acknowledged that it might not rank well, so we should split the project up into bid alternates so that as much of the project as possible could be awarded contingent upon funding. So we designed it with four alternate, a base bid and three alternate work items, but there wasn't enough money to fund even a base bid.
So, but no indication that you should split it up into a design, split it up even further?
No, not at the time.
Not at the time, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So this will be something that we're going to put on the... more discussion about offline between now and the next meeting. And
yes, I think so.
Figure out
where
we're going to go. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
And just to sort of touch upon something you said, I honestly don't. I don't see anything that we've done wrong.
No, I'm not saying. I'm very confident that our process, your process included, was prudent and it was the right way to go. That's not so there's something that happened behind the scenes somewhere that just doesn't make sense. So we just need to figure out what that was and then so we don't it doesn't repeat itself.
Understood. So recommended actions were to have the board please consider the alternatives moving forward and direct Gail on the preferred option. If that's something you guys want to table until next month.
Yeah. Well, there's too many questions still. Okay. Thank you.
And there's no risk of losing some of these discretionary funds by waiting.
In theory, there aren't any. So
well, there's theoretically enough to at least pay for the design fees, right?
Okay. Well, those are funds that you're entitled to. Those are your
entitlement
funds. So, yes, the only downside I can see with tabling it until next month would be that they won't get paid until next month. That's okay. We will gather as much information from them as possible and we'll present it all.
We won't delay this.
Yep. Understood. And that's it for the engineer's update.
Okay.
That was all, huh? We'll go back to steel toe.
That was a tough one. Really good.
Yeah. Thank you, Nick. So, committees. We have no committees at this time. Old business, Southern New Hampshire University lease update.
Getting older every month. It's in their court. Their attorney's been busy and wrap up things. The primary lease is done. It's now all the ancillary leases that kind of go in with it. There's four or five leases that kind of tie into it. So those are being extended, and it's in their court. Until August 20th of 2020 to really start worrying about it. Mm-hmm. So, we've done what we can do right now.
Sure.
One thing we are working on, and kind of an aside issue, is that we got to get the lease for the FAA tower and the FAA and the authority as a sublease that where the school actually leases us the tower space, and we then lease it back to the FAA. That lease is still to expire, I think, in the middle of September. So we have to get that one done.
Yeah. Wes?
So I assume that the Kenny Webster income, wherever that would be, is factored in the 2020 budget?
No, because it doesn't start until August of 2020.
Oh, okay.
The lease comes into there may be 1 month coming in.
Okay.
But.
And the other point,
oh, that would be 1 month. That would be 1 month.
FAA noticed that they would no longer lease space in places like Nashua Town.
Can I say it again?
There was a notice a couple of years ago that the FAA had determined that they would no longer pay for leases in places like the Nashua Town.
Well, they're paying us a dollar.
Right. I got the sense from the notice that they wouldn't be doing that.
Well,
but you got to
figure that. I have no knowledge of that.
Yeah.
Where that comes from?
Okay, all set on that. Yeah. All right. Nothing under new business brings us to upcoming events. We touched upon those a moment ago. September 14, Summer Fun Wings and Wheels. September 27 through the 29th, Wings of Freedom Tour from the Collings Foundation. That brings us to. Public input. Wes?
We have an hangar for sale in my condo association.
Hmm.
I understand the asking price is something like $75,000. We basically afford it to the and I believe that the RV3 airplane is in it also. So.
Oh.
I have contact information if anybody wants to be close.
Thank you. Anybody else for public input?
Yes, I just want to make sure we're going to follow up on this. Well, that's 20% of our whole.
Well, of course, yeah. We
just making sure.
Wow. Yes.
Fine.
Okay. Director's comments and Brian.
None.
Okay. I have no comments this month, David.
I've said plenty.
Joe?
No, nope, just stay cool, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Aye.
Okay, all in favor?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay, we are adjourned.